The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Make one comment before we get too deep, and I know some of you who are new to the show are wondering, have these folks ever had a call-in segment before? This program has a pretty good reputation for that. However, progress doesn't always make things run smoothly, and for the first time this week, everyone connected to the program is under the same roof. We've been doing it some here, some there. And different equipment has been used. So we're going through a reintegration, and all of you who are going back into your offices for the first time are finding that a lot of things that used to work don't work the same way. So bear with us. We'll figure this thing out where the callers won't act like we just discovered them on an island and for the first time in 45 years. Let's get to a tweet here that is very interesting. Keith Davis tweeting, "Hey, Bama fans, y'all seem to be scared of OU joining the league." Is there some explanation for that? I don't know. That's one explanation that I have not heard yet before. Let me go to Cameron, who is next up. Cameron is calling from Virginia. Cameron, good afternoon and welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, Paul.
Hey there.
I was just wondering if you think that potentially the SEC may be going after other teams or schools or whatever to join the SEC, potentially any teams in the Big Ten?
Cameron, I think it's unlikely, but I think the SEC is going to sit on 16 right now. But I will say this, if you start seeing these cross-country marriages, let's say Big 10, Pac-12, and another league starts to dissolve, then I think we're going to see more acquisitions. So I would not rule it out yet, but I think right now it is so complicated to take two schools in, let alone four or more.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's a really how old are you, Cameron?
I'm 12.
What are you doing the rest of the summer, and what year are you?
Well, not too much. Probably just go to the pool and stuff because school starts in a couple weeks. But I'm going into seventh grade.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate your call. Great to hear from you. Thank you very much. And
all right.
Cameron obviously gets technology. He's the first caller today that responded in a normal period of time. I think he's got a future. Didn't that sound cool? Just going to the pool. Remember those days? Simpler time, wasn't it? Ray is up next in Alabama. Ray, thank you and good afternoon.
Hi. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment about when these Texas fans start calling and saying that in 2009 they would have won if McCoy wasn't hurt. They have to remember they wouldn't have even been there if Bradford didn't get hurt when they played them and only beat them by 3 points.
Oh, I forgot that. You're right.
Yeah, they would have never been in the game.
Yeah, I will tell you, of all the war cries I've heard in my many years of covering college football, we would have won if Colt hadn't been hurt, is among the most annoying.
I know. And the other thing is that Will said the SEC is going to run through Austin. He's kind of correct, but their SEC is going to run over Austin.
Well, possibly.
That's all I had to say because I've been tired all these years of hearing about the Texas fans and Colt McCoy.
Yeah, well, I think we've heard about it for the final time. Michael is up next. Michael is calling from where else but Texas. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Well, I had a couple quick questions. So, obviously, with Texas and Oklahoma joining the league, you now have that SEC patch recruiting Texas a little bit more than A&M, and then, you know, LSU and Arkansas have always been close neighbors that recruit the state. Does this kind of deplete the power that A&M has been recruiting in Texas, and does that help other programs if A&M's not kind of that black hole in Texas sucking up all those guys, if it's more evenly distributed?
Michael, I think it's possibly a game changer for this reason. Everyone was going to Texas and getting great players. Alabama, Ohio, I was talking to a friend of mine in Ohio today. They've gone down there and done well. Obviously, A&M. And yeah, you know, I do think Texas will start recruiting better. This is a burst. I mean, they've continued to change coaches, but it really hasn't changed anything. I mean, Herman was the most coveted coach in America when they brought him in there, and it didn't change one thing. And other than a couple more times, Texas was back, and Matthew McConaughey jumped up and down and stood on his head. But you know, I think Sarkisian is a good coach for this moment because he's been to Alabama, he's worked there, he understands the SEC, and I think recruiting will get a little bit easier in Texas. We'll talk to a recruiting expert at some point down the road that may know more, a lot more. Anyone would know more about recruiting than I would, but I think it's a really, really good point. Kevin is up next in Ohio. Hello, Kevin. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. This is Kevin from Ohio. I was wondering, do you see any kind of scenario where you think Ohio State would leave the Big Ten and maybe go independent and cherry pick schools that they would play for a better seeding and maybe the playoffs?
I don't know. I mean, what people fail to understand, and I know that we all like to beat our chest down here about how great we are, but the Big Ten has many things going for it. I mean, as of this moment, now it's about to change, but as of this moment, they have the most lucrative television deal of anyone in college athletics. They've got some of the biggest brands in college athletics. I do think it's fair to say the commissioner up there has made some mistakes. And, you know, the biggest, I believe, was jumping into the COVID pool before he needed to. There's still no explanation of why they had to call football off last year in August. They could have waited like the Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC. And I think there's a lot of pressure on him, but what you don't want to do is make a mistake. And I don't know anyone who really thought Rutgers in Maryland added to the bottom line of the Big 10. I mean, they thought they were getting geographical footprints, which didn't amount to anything. So they're just not going to go grab a school because it's an AAU school or it's available. They're waiting, I think, to see how the landscape shifts in the aftermath of what happened last week. But I don't see. But you know, for Ohio State to go independent, it's not possible. I mean, they're making too much money right now. And, you know, while Ohio State has a brand, you know, remember, Notre Dame, you know, isn't as independent as they may think they are. They're in the ACC. They play five ACC football games. They just happen to have an independent college football network contract, and they play a few other schools. Let's get back to the calls, and Lance is up next. Hello, Lance. Go right ahead.
Hey Paul, how are you today? Is there any other show on ESPN other than the Paul Feinbaum and the SEC story right now? I don't think there is. You've got it.
Well,
everything's
going on
right here.
You would get an argument from you know, the obsessiveness of the Aaron Rodgers coverage, but you know, I'll leave that. I thought that was one of the biggest non-stories of the year, that he wasn't going to play there this year, but everybody you know, obsessed over it for the past 5 months. And guess what? He's playing there.
Well, the only thing tougher than figuring this SEC, you know, realignment is dressage. The Olympics are going on. I can't figure that out for anything. So,
yeah,
you know, thanks
it
for-
is too bad. I mean, I love the Olympics, and I'm trying to keep up with it, but there's only so much bandwidth in my house to, you know, to listen to all the things going on in Texas and Oklahoma to keep up with the Olympics.
Well, a public service announcement for SEC fans that haven't lived over in the old Southwest Conference states. Think of Gator fans with Spurrier and the arrogance that they brought on steroids. That's what that fan base is like. And they're losing. I mean, they're not winning to their standards, certainly, and a subpar team by any standard. That's what we're going to run into.
Great to hear from you, Lance. Thank you. We're heading to a break. We have a lot of guests remaining throughout the Nicole Auerbach a little bit later on what the Pac-12 commissioner had to say about the SEC's commissioner's involvement in what's going on now, as well as what it could mean to the CFP. And the one and only Jim Ross, the Hall of Famer. OU fan, by the way. OU legend, by the way. He'll talk to us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we are back. And so often over the many, many years, we've either had our next guest on the phone or every once in a while he has been through town and dropped by our studio. And we always talk college football and most of the time talk his beloved Oklahoma Sooners. So we cannot wait to hear what Jim Ross has to say, the legendary Hall of Fame announcer for wrestling of so many different ilks. Jim, first of all, great to have you on. Good afternoon, and thanks for making time.
I like that Van Morrison lead in their music. You're in my generation.
Yeah, well, there aren't many left of us, Jim. Good to have you on, and I don't know. When I heard this the other day, I couldn't help but think of you, and I told Mark, I said, we have got to see what Jim thinks of all of this because there's not a bigger Oklahoma fan in the world than you.
Well, I'll accept that accolade. It came on so suddenly, it seems like it was a done deal before it was made public, which may be the best way of doing business. I'm not sure, but I can tell you the fans, most of the fans in Oklahoma that I talk to are very optimistic and excited. They're pro the fact of the Sooners going to the SEC. And I kind of compare it, Paul, to my day job in pro wrestling. We're actually here in Charlotte tonight doing a big show. But the simple thing is, wrestling fans like new. Your listeners like new, a different perspective. And they like new wrestling matches, let's say. Well, now we've got all these new rivalries that are going to be built. I like the geography of it. I'd rather go tailgating in the Grove than at Kansas State. Let me leave it at that.
Yeah, well, I need some help here because, you know, already, you know, Jim, you know where I'm going next because we've heard from Nebraska fans, even though they're not part of this. We've heard from Missouri fans and Arkansas fans and A&M fans, of course. And I was just thinking about the University of Texas, and you've been encountering them and that rivalry for so long. But is there any way to put into what you normally do, your day job in wrestling, the parlance of Texas as a bad guy or a heel? I mean, does anyone have more enemies than Texas?
Not really, that I'm aware of, and it's sure a pleasure to boo them when we can. They're omnipotent. They're their own entity, and they don't play well with others, shall we say, sometimes. I think some of those teams that are complaining about Oklahoma getting into the mighty SEC are just simply concerned about the competition, the level of competition. This is the worst time if you're a team playing Oklahoma to play Oklahoma, because I know it's going to sound really biased, and I am. I'm fully transparent. They're going to be really good. And Lincoln Riley's done a phenomenal job of recruiting. We've got quarterbacks galore. You got to have a quarterback. We do. We got two of them. So I think people are just worried about maybe the competition level. But I would think Oklahoma play Arkansas every year. I got to believe that they'll be kind of paired up. I don't know how the pairings are going to be, obviously. But Nebraska doesn't have anything. They left the Big 12. You know, you left, go to the Big Ten. So what do you got to bitch about? I don't know of anything. I think one of the things that started this whole dissolving of the Big 12 in Oklahoma came when Fox moved the 50th anniversary of the game of the century to 11 a.m. Central Time on their network. And they wouldn't budge. And all, you know, Oklahoma had a big celebration plan for Nebraska and all that stuff to honor their players. the coaches and that rivalry, and they dump it at 11 a.m. for a breakfast game. And I think that PO'd a lot of people. So I don't know what Nebraska's got to complain about. They, you know, they made their own bed, so now they can tidy up and sleep in it.
You know, Jim, you are the first person to mention that. We've heard a lot of people talk about, well, when they tried to get to the table early with Fox and ESPN, but I think you're onto something there, because, you know, I mean, for those of us who have seen a few college football games in our time, we're talking about the 50th anniversary of, I don't know, you tell me, one of the most famous game. I mean, it could be the most famous game in college football history, Thanksgiving Day, 1-2, every single thing on the line with one of the greatest Nebraska teams of all time. And the idea that that game, what, is it's going to be 11 o'clock in Norman in early September. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I agree. And the fact that Fox couldn't or wouldn't budge is beyond me. And I haven't seen the schedule for, you know, why about a 2:30 game? That, we used to do that all the time in football. Good old 2:30 kickoff or a primetime game. I think it's so distanced off from the 50 years ago that a lot of people, are decision makers who are now millennials, just haven't plugged in. They don't realize the historic value of a game like that, and we should protect all of our great rivalries in that regard. That's why A&M is crying like a baby. They don't want to play Texas anymore. They're mad at Texas. Well, get over it. How about doing something for the fans? Because it's going to create some great rivalries, some great games, and you know, I can't wait. I think our side of that division, Oklahoma's side, with A&M and Texas, and maybe Arkansas, whoever else it may be, is a good thing.
Jim, just let's talk about culture for a second, because it just seems to me that you know, I've only been out there a couple of times. I've interacted with Oklahoma many other times in various venues, and it just seems like the culture of the creme de la creme of the SEC in Oklahoma is fairly similar, is it not?
Yes, absolutely. We're all basically spoiled and entitled with our successes. You know, Alabama leading the way, and rightfully so. They're the powerhouse of college football right now. But I think it's timely. We're going to see so many changes in the landscape. College football has become a television product. And moving the roster around, moving your lineup around, creating new games, new rivalries and all those things, I think is a sign of things to come. So I don't see any downside in this scenario. The only downside that I can tell you for a fact that Oklahoma fans are concerned about is not playing Oklahoma State every year, as we have for 100 years, in the Bedlam game. And we're not sure that that's going to stick. Is it going to be around anymore? Can they schedule it? So I think that's the only negative I've heard as far as the competition. You know, going to some of these great campuses like you get privileged to do is a dream come true for football fans. And our group, hell, they're going to love traveling to all these cities where they watched on TV and play these great teams. I think it's good for the game. I really truly do.
And as everyone in Oklahoma knows, I mean, that game was good for both, especially Oklahoma State. I'm really curious what you think about that. Not that any of us spend a waking minute thinking about Oklahoma State, but how much does this affect that campus and what they do out there?
Well, you know, there's no love lost between Oklahoma State and OU. You know, it's one of those rival deals. I don't. Is there any love lost between Auburn and Alabama? Probably not.
No.
You know, but so I just think it's bad. But so many people have grown up with that as a part of their football history, the Bedlam game. It's got one word, it's Bedlam. When you say Bedlam in Oklahoma, you know what you're talking about, Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State. So I think just the losing some of that tradition, or potentially losing some of that tradition, is what's not being absorbed real well right now. But I may be premature in speculating about this because, you know, they may be able to schedule that game as a non-conference game.
Yeah, what happens? Because, I mean, you're talking about, I mean, I'm assuming that we go to nine games, and you still have to have, you know, everybody wants to play that big game in the beginning of the year, although I don't know if that's even a factor anymore. I mean, this is just going to turn things upside down. I know there are traditionalists out there, and you mentioned Bedlam, but in Oklahoma really isn't affected. But what overall, as a college football fan, do you think the addition of Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC does to the middle. I hate to call them the middle class, but there are a lot of teams in the middle that are, you know, hoping they get the right coach so they can move up, like Tennessee, which just hired an OU legend.
Yeah, Josh Heupel's there. He's got a tall task at hand, but that's not news. We know that. I just think it's good for the game, Paul. Creating new rivalries, as I said, new road trips, new tailgating opportunities. I think it expands the whole process. And the bottom line is, when Oklahoma goes on the road, they sell tickets. When Alabama goes on the road, they sell tickets. They may sell more tickets on the road than the home team's got. Who knows? I'm sure that's happened plenty of times. But I just think it's going to be good for the game. I think everybody financially is going to benefit more. I mean, stadium ticket sales, you know, we're lucky. We're selling out. But a lot of schools aren't selling out. And maybe a trip by Texas or by Oklahoma to their campus to play their team will help them create more ticket sales, which creates more revenue.
And I'm going to come back to the Texas part of this because I know I asked you earlier, but, you know, everyone that calls in from all these schools that you've already mentioned, I mean, the animus toward Texas just never seems to end. It's ironic, though, that Oklahoma and Texas, fierce rivals, you know, came together. Your thoughts on the OU leadership coalescing with Texas to come into the SEC?
Well, it was kind of surprising, to be honest with you, because, quite frankly, Texas is a lot like the richest kid in your high school class, Paul. They got the nicest car. They wear the nicest shoes. They got the prettiest girlfriends, and they've become a little bit bulletproof. And Texas over the years, started happening in full bore during when they got the Longhorn Network. Everybody thought, well, that's going to give them an unfair advantage. It's going to be bad. And all we've done in Oklahoma is win Big 12 titles year after year after year after the Longhorn Network. So it's just an attitudinal thing. It's just hard to like somebody that feels so good about themselves sometimes. But they'll bring – it's like being a wrestling villain. They're wrestling. They're the version of a wrestling villain in college football because people will pay their money and make the road trips and do their and do all their due diligence to see Texas lose. And that's a great wrestling villain. You pay your money, go watch, and you want the good guy to beat the bad guy. And I think that's kind of where we are. It's a very maybe a flimsy illustration, but I look at it that way. Coming from my background, you probably would, but they're just not very popular. But there again, Sarkisian can use that to his advantage by the us against the world scenario. Barry Switzer did that in the 70s when he started recruiting so many great black athletes. And Oklahoma became the bad guys because all these black kids are getting all the starting jobs. And that's just, but they were winning games, winning national championships. So, and the best players play no matter the skin color. So I think it's Texas has brought a lot of this on themselves. They're not going to find a warm hug by anybody in the SEC. But they're going to like it when the SEC people go to the bank. Well, Texas will make them some money.
Jim Ross, before you go, you mentioned villain a couple of times. You've been at the you've had a front seat for some of the greatest moments in wrestling history. Is there a villain in your history, past or present, that you could look at and direct us toward to try to identify who Texas is?
Oh. Well, I would probably start with a list of any wrestler, any pro wrestler that sucked the crowd in to believing it's all real and got stabbed. Every stabbed wrestler, every stabbed wrestling villain is Texas. People don't like them. They want them to have bad fates and all this other stuff. I would say when Jerry Lawler was a heel, that guy in Memphis, he was probably the most hated guy in town.
Jerry Lawler, wow.
Well, it's one of your guys.
You're going Memphis on me here.
Well, you know, I know you're a Memphis guy and all that.
We're talking about the king here. It doesn't matter how old you are. You don't need to go to Wikipedia to know who Jerry Lawler is.
That's right. He's my old broadcast partner for 27 years. But guys like that, they knew how to play their role and stimulate the crowd to a negative reaction. Again, the goal of every wrestling villain is to have people leave their homes, drive their cars, park, buy a ticket, buy the $10 popcorn, and all that good stuff, and come in and watch the bad guy get beat. And, of course, now with our society as it is, there's a lot of defiance in that young male demographic that cheer for the bad guy. So it's going to be fun. I think it's going to create, again, I love the, you know, I've never been to a game at Ole Miss. I went to the Arkansas-Texas game in 1969, but that was the number one versus number two game. So that was kind of cool. John Wayne was there. The President of the United States was there. It was a real neat deal. I think that's kind of what you're going to get with these new marriages. Even though Arkansas and Texas at that time was not a new game, but the circumstances of why they were playing was very new and very novel and very lofty. So it's going to be fun, Paul. It's going to be, for a broadcaster, a great broadcaster like you are, I think you're going to have a blast of this thing. I really do. I think there's going to be a lot to talk about. And I'm looking forward to every minute of it.
Can't wait. You're right. This has been, it's already been one of the better weeks of our existence here. Jim Ross, thanks so much. Great to have you on. And I just love what he said there. Texas is essentially Jerry Lawler, the great Memphis wrestler who everybody hated. We will take a break. We're back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back here, and great to have all of you with us. Laura is up next as we continue here. Laura is in Austin. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
I want to talk to you about a couple of callers from yesterday, but first I just want to say that I'm a Texas ex. I graduated in 2003. I bleed burnt orange. I've had season tickets for over 20 years, and there are so many callers and comments that you've had about how mean and arrogant Texas is, but most of them seem to be coming from like our bitter rivals, you know, OU and Aggie and Arkansas. And Arkansas still loathes us. I mean, they never got over it. We haven't played regularly in 25 years, but man, they hate us. And those they're going to obviously have horrible things to say about us. You know, I mean, what would Auburn fans say about Bama and Georgia about Florida? Of course, they're going to have horrible things to say. You know. And I'll admit that we're arrogant as Texas fans. I mean, all of us will. We know we are, you know. But we love football, and we're pretty, you know, in general, we're pretty knowledgeable about football. And y'all are going to find that we really do fit in the SEC. We have a rabid fan base, and we respect the SEC. We always have. And our fans have wanted to be in it for a very long time. We're tired of playing in a subpar conference. You know, 15 years ago, that wasn't the case. The conference was better, but it has been for a while. And there's a difference in a fan base and administration. So, like, when people are talking about, oh, Texas, you know, the academics aren't good enough in the SEC for Texas to go there, that's not what the fans say. You know, that's what our administration said so long ago. And fortunately, we have an administration now that really gets and supports Texas football, and so we're moving in the right direction. And I just want to say, you know, I'm a sixth-generation Texan on one side of my family, and the other side's from Louisiana. My blood is 100% Southern, and I don't have any Yankee blood in me. And I'm stoked about this. This move is going to be awesome. I mean, our whole fan base is excited. So don't focus just on our rivals. You know, this is going to be great for all of us. I really think y'all are going to be welcome at our tailgates, and you'll find that Texas fans aren't just, you know, as awful as everyone seems to think. But I wanted to comment on a couple of callers. You know, Will from Austin yesterday. I got to give you kudos, man. That is like the most legit troll job by an Aggie I've seen in a while, and that was great.
So, just for the record, we did not pay that guy. He did that voluntarily.
Yeah, well, it was good. I got to give him credit for that. And then I want to comment on Legend from Alabama yesterday, who was talking about Texas will never be back and all that stuff. And I just want to say, you know, I want to ask him what. If he could, you know, look it up and remind me what Alabama was before Coach Saban, you know, mid 2000s, were they great?
Yeah, I can tell you who they were. They had three coaches named Mike, Shula, Dubose, and Price. One of them never got to the first game because he got fired. They had Dennis Franchione, who by the way left Alabama for Texas A&M and promptly lost to, I think, Oklahoma 77-0. That's who they had.
Right. And I please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying Texas is going to be Bama. My point is every program has down times. And, you know, I've been a Texas fan for a while, and I've gone through what I believe is the best and the worst of times. I've seen national championship, and then I've seen the worst, statistically worst coach in Texas football history. So my point is it's I don't know when it's going to happen, but we're not going to be down forever. It's been a decade, you know. We're a top four winningest program of all time, and we played for a national championship 11 years ago. It's not as dire as Jim Ross there and everyone else wants the world to believe. So we don't know. Any good real Texas fan isn't going to tell you we're going to walk into the SEC and just start winning championships. We're not that ridiculous. But we do hope to be competitive, and I think our recruiting edge will return a little bit when we get into the SEC, and hopefully we'll have better player development, which has really been our issue for quite a while, and we'll be able to turn this thing around sooner than later. So.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you very much. Great to have you with us. Yeah, I thought Laura made a lot of good points. The point I really love the most is that Texas fans have always wanted to be part of the SEC. I'm looking for that. I'm looking for that piece of tape. Andre, do you remember Texas fans wanting to be part of the SEC?
Coach, what's going on?
Hey there.
Hey, how you doing, Coach?
We're doing great.
Hey, good. Did you read what Coach Bob Stoops said about Oklahoma joining the SEC?
Right.
Yeah, hey, man, the man's finally coming out telling the truth.
I remember Big Game Bob a couple of years ago talking about all the – he was talking about me in one respect. He was talking about all the propaganda coming out of the SEC. Remember that?
Right. So is he telling the truth now, or was he telling the truth then?
I think Bob's got a cushy job working on TV now, so he's looking to rewrite history. I don't ever remember Bob paying homage to the SEC.
Listen, Coach, these people over at Oklahoma State and their administration are acting like a jilted girlfriend because Oklahoma and Texas decided to run off with somebody else. The shots they're taking, you know, they're calling them traitors and stuff like that. Hey, man, this is big boy ball, and this is big boy money. This is about money. And, you know, Coach, they say money don't talk, it screams. Hey, thanks for taking my call, Coach.
Thank you. We're going to a break. I just saw a tweet from a guy, Jeff Patterson from Oklahoma. He said, when a fan of Texas, 51-46 in the Big 12 since 2010, says on Feinbaum, we're tired of playing in a subpar conference. I love this Texas-Oklahoma rivalry already. We are heading to a break. Jim Dodden, who knows a little bit about both conferences, head coach at Georgia, top assistant under Barry Switzer at Oklahoma. He'll join us in a few minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Jim Donnan coming up shortly. Nicole Arabak in the final hour. And right now, Manuel, is in Austin. Manuel, good afternoon.
What's going on, Paul Feinbaum?
Man, how are you? Great to have you back.
Hey, you know, like anybody else, I moved on to bigger and better things, but I'm back. Now that my Longhorns may be joining the SEC, I figured I'd drop in and drop some knowledge on you folks.
Well, yeah, so tell us all about the Longhorns, man. Well, we had some conversations in the past, but not lately.
Well, let me tell you something. Anyone who has any doubt about who is going to be the big dog at the table needs to think no more. There's no doubt it's going to be the Texas Longhorns, and there's one main reason, is we got the dollar signs, and we all know that. You know that, Paul, and I know that. We got the dollar signs. There's a lot of talk about OU and the success they've had, but let's just be real. Where the natties at? They ain't got no natties in the past 20 years or so. They ain't got no natties. You got no Oklahomans calling into the show because they ain't got cable TV in Oklahoma. Oklahoma is like basically the armpit of this nation is what it is. Nebraska, Colorado, Missouri, and Texas A&M, they basically ruined the Big 12 when they left. And they left using a bunch of excuses about money and everything else. But the reality is that they were done with the ass kicking. They were done with getting their butt whipped. Nebraska was a powerhouse when they joined the Big 12. They never once beat Texas in a regular season game the entire time they were in the Big 12. And so to me, if I look at it today, Nebraska Cornhuskers back in 1996 or present-day Alabama, you got an old coach in Nicky Saban who was pretty much on his way out. Back then you had Tom Osborne, right?
Right, sure.
And the same thing that happened to Nebraska is going to happen to Alabama. All the other teams are irrelevant. I'm not even going to mention that school in College Station. Nobody gives a damn about them. They were a middle-of-the-pack team in the Big 12. They're the middle of the pack team in the SEC today, and they're about to go down even further once Oklahoma and Texas join the SEC. It's done. Y'all done made a big mistake. Let Texas in. We back. This is only going to help us. Everybody knows it. Recruiting,
Manuel,
more
can you
money.
Possibly explain like what's been going on the last 8 or 9 years out there?
Well, everybody's got to take a break every now and then.
In other words, since you last called this show, I think the last time you called was right before the game at the Rose Bowl that Cole got hurt.
Nah, I'd call after that. Listen, Paul, like I just told you, you know what happened. Anybody and everyone and anyone who was anything at ESPN moved on to bigger and better things over at Fox, and so that's what I've been doing.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? But now that my Longhorns may be coming back, you know, here, you got me. I got to come back and drag you guys across the finish line.
Well, Manuel, I can't tell you how much I've missed you. I know the Aggies have missed you. The Longhorns are back better than ever. And good luck against Louisiana in that first game.
Hey, I'm looking forward
and
to it, Paul.
I don't know. Are you planning on going to the Arkansas game? I'd like you to be my guest up there, and I'll show you around the SEC.
Hey, show me around. You let me know. I'll be there.
Yeah, I can't wait. Because I kind of feel the Razorbacks are waiting for you guys. That game is the second week of the season. It's on the 11th. Okay, Manuel, and from Austin, meet Will from Austin. What a town that must be. We are coming right back.